Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to come before the people of God. And I thank God for the opportunity for letting us assemble ourselves one more time to study the Word of God, the body of Christ. At this time, I want you to know that the title of the lesson tonight is God Provided the Evidence for His Power, of His Power and Love, and Yet It Wasn't Enough. God provided the evidence of His power and love, yet it wasn't enough. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 5 through 14. If you have your Bibles, Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 5 through 14. And then we're going to pick up again and do 21 and 22. Glory, hallelujah. And the character we're going to talk about tonight is Moses. So at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for the lesson tonight. The title of the song is Don't Give Up on Jesus. Many times things go wrong in people's lives, but they have a debt that they didn't was ready to receive, and they begin to question God and ask, how could he do this and why would he do it? But don't give up on Jesus, because Jesus won't give up on you. I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found.
Hope you have is gone. Don't give up on Jesus.
When you try. Yeah!
Vanessa, I have been through something.
Brother, you know I have too.
And there were times, y'all, when I felt like I was not gonna make it.
Have you ever felt like there was no hope?
I had the towel, I threw it in.
I threw mine out.
But you know what? The word of the Lord came and it said, I'll never leave you,
never forsake you. I'm with you always. I believe you.
And the title of that song was, Don't Give Up on Jesus. And the singer was Daryl Coley. And today I was just reminded in my mind that today is Valentine's Day. So I would like to wish everyone a happy Valentine. And I pray that if you receive something from someone, it's a sign of love. And we should be grateful. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. So at this time, I'm going to open a mic for Sister Pam. And she's going to bring us to God's throne of grace. Pam, your mic is open. Good evening, everybody. Father God, we come at this time thanking you for affording us this opportunity to come together for our Wednesday night Bible study. Taking this time, O Lord, for fellowship and prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life on tonight. Lord, we thank you for our teacher, our sister in Christ, Minister Diane Adams. Continue to use her, Lord, guide and direct her every way. Lord, I ask that you please continue to bless our Bible study and bless everybody that's listening in on tonight. We thank you, O Lord Jesus, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your compassion. We thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus the Christ. And it's in his name that I give thanks and amen. Thank you so much, my dear sister.
You're welcome.
And tonight, like I said, and I'll say it again because other callers have called in, that the title of our lesson is, God Provided the Evidence of His Power and Love, and yet it wasn't enough. And you're going to see how I decided to use that title for what we're going to talk about on tonight. And maybe sometime you figured something was going on in your life, even though God had brought you through danger seen and unseen and carried you over bridges of troubled water, there may have been one particular thing that you thought God should do this or that. I pray that you never give up on God, because God will never give up on you. And we're going to be in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus, the 14th chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse, go down through the 14th, and then we're going to pick back up on 21 and 22. Well, we're going to talk about Moses for a little while. Moses is one of the most prominent figures in the Old Testament. You know, many people believe that is Abraham because he's called the father of the faithful and the recipients of God's unconditional covenant of grace to his people. But Moses was the man chosen to bring redemption to God's people. God specifically chose Moses to lead the Israelites from captivity in Egypt to the salvation and to the promised land. Moses was also recognized as a mediator of the Old Testament and is commonly referred to as the giver of the law. You see, Moses wrote the first five books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses is the writer of the first five books, which is the books of the law, and some call it the Pentateuch. Moses' role in the Old Testament is a type of, you know, many times we see scripture in the Old Testament and it says a foreshadow of Jesus coming or whatever. But Moses is a type and a shadow of the role Jesus played in the New Testament. You see, Jesus delivered us and freed us from the bondage of sin. And Moses freed the Israelites from the bondage of slavery. The Israelites lived in peace for several generations until they arose in Egypt, a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Okay, I don't know if you ever thought about it, and I pray that most of you already know it. You know, we always talk about the freeing the Israelites from Egypt. Many times I've been asked, why were they in Egypt? How did they get there? So when I just say the statement that the Pharaoh didn't know Joseph, Joseph was one of the sons of Israel. And Joseph's brothers were jealous. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he was taken to Egypt and placed in slavery. No, he was taken to Egypt to be sold as a slave. But when he got there, the hand of God was on him, and he prospered in everything he did. But time and chance met him, and he was accused of doing something with a woman that he didn't do. He was thrown in jail. Hallelujah. God still was on the scene, y'all. God is always with us. Joseph had told dreams in the jail, and one of the kings had a dream, and the man that was in jail with him remembered they got Joseph out. Joseph interpreted the dream. Joseph became second to the king in all of Egypt. Come on, y'all. Joseph became second to the king in Egypt. And his interpretation of the dream was to be able to provide food and a famine. All of the land, everything in the land, because of the family. Famine was going hungry. Everybody had to go to Egypt. And they had to be seen by Joseph. Well, Joseph's brothers that had sold him. Was at home with their father. And I pause, y'all, because I'm saying so much on Joseph, but it all ties together. So y'all getting two for the price of one. But Joseph, father and his brothers needed food, and they came to Egypt. They got there. They didn't know Joseph. Joseph recognized them. He made them do certain things, go back, get his father. And he took care of them at that time. And he told his family to come to Egypt, and he talked to the king. Now, the statement I made was a new king came that did not know Joseph. The king that was there at the time, he loved Joseph and he appreciated Joseph and he trusted Joseph. He told him, bring your family. Give them the land. They lived there. They lived there. They lived there. They lived there. But the statement I made before I went into this thing of Joseph, there up come a new Pharaoh who did not know him. And because God was with his people in Egypt, he blessed them that they were so fertile, and not just the land they was where they was producing their crops, but they were fertile and they had many children and their numbers became massive. And the people in Egypt say, if we don't stop them, they're going to be more than us, and they could overthrow us. So they decide to make them slaves. So that's how the children of Israel became slaves in Egypt. They treated them bad, y'all. They made them made bricks and stopped giving them straw. They used them for their massive building projects. But God was with them and he blessed them. And they was under oppression. And they were slaves. And they kept crying out to God. God heard their cry. And even though they was there for 40 years, when God's time and his will was ready to be done, it was done. And God called Moses for the job. Now, Moses, when we look at him, the king that was afraid of the Israelites growing so much, he decided to kill all the males born to the Hebrew women. But Moses' mother saw that he was goodly. He was special. And she was going to do everything she could to save her child. She placed him in a basket and put him in the Nile River. The basket was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses had a sister named Miriam. And when Moses' mother put Moses in the basket, his sister followed the basket. She was on shore, and she just kept following the basket to see where it would end up. And Pharaoh's daughter was just happened to be. Now, you know this ain't just happened, but she was where God had placed her. She picked Moses up, and she adopted him as his son, as her son. And Moses grew up. Now, when the basket stopped and the Pharaoh's daughter was there and she took Moses, remember Moses' sister Miriam was following a basket on shore. Now, watch this. Moses' adopted mother, the Pharaoh's daughter, didn't have milk. She couldn't buy Similac. They didn't sell the bottles because women breastfed the children. So as she got the baby, his sister was smart enough to realize, you know, she's going to have somebody. So she went and she told, I know a lady that'll be able to take care of your baby. Now this Moses' sister. Pharaoh's daughter, Zee, Moses' sister, took her brother to his mother's house until he was old enough to be weaned off the breast. Don't tell me how God won't do it, y'all. She was able to bring him to her mother, which was his mother. He sucked up his mother's own milk. Come on, y'all. He was under the instructions of his mother until it was time to go to the next level. He had the influence of his mother. He laid in his mother's chest. That's the kind of God we serve. And besides that, she was getting paid by Pharaoh's daughter for taking care of Moses. See the hand of God? And I want you to know that God chose Moses to free the children of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. Moses led 2 million people in the desert. When Moses freed the children of Israel, can you imagine on foot Moses? And yes, he did have his brother Aaron, because Moses tried to run away from his calling when God met him. He used many excuses, as many of us do. I can't speak. I stutter. I'm not elegant. The people's not. He went on and on. God said, I'm going to give you your brother Aaron. But when Moses got the people out of Egypt, it was 2 million or better. And Moses became the buffer between God and the people. You see, sin had entered the world, and God was separated from his people even then. And so Moses is considered a prophet because Moses became the spokesperson for God to the people. Moses continued to do what God asked him to do once he accepted and realized his calling. You see, Moses lived to be 120 years old. Let me go back some. So Moses took on the job from God. No, let me go back a little bit more. Moses, while he was in Egypt, and he was a prince because his mother could have been a queen, and he was a prince in Egypt, had everything, the finest dish, probably had a spirit of entitlement, I'm sure. He had servants, and whatever he said, people did in Egypt. And by being reared somewhat by his mother, she let him know who he was, and he was a Jew. He was a Jew, a Hebrew Jew. And one day he saw the Egyptians treating the Hebrew slaves bad. And Moses pushed the man. The man fell and he died. Many times if you hear that Moses was a murderer, that's what they're talking about from that incident. So Moses did that. And Moses had to flee. Because the law stated if you kill someone, you know, you had to, you know, die by the sword. So Moses fled. And when Moses fled, he went to a place named Miriam. You see, God chose Moses to free the children of Israel from the bondage. God chose them. At another moment, he had reacted to their unjustified attacks. The people were constantly attacking Moses. Let me go back a little bit up from that. So Moses went to Miriam, where he met Jethro. He saved Jethro's daughter from some robbers, and Jethro told him he could be there and he could tend his sheep and he could marry one of his daughters. Now look at this. Moses was a prince in Egypt for 40 years. Then when Moses went to Jethro, he worked as a shepherd for Jethro for 40 years. And the Israelites, under the leadership of Moses, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So Moses' life had 3 40-year spans, one in a palace, one with the sheep, and one with the children of Israel. And you know, it's amazing when I looked at that span with Moses, you know, it made me say, well, wow, God take him out the palace. Like saying, take him out the White House and put him in the outhouse. But God knew what Moses had to face. He knew the trials and tribulation that Moses would have to face dealing with that amount of people. So God took him from the palace and placed him in a field. But you see, while he was there, God taught him so much. He told him how to care for something more than yourself. He taught him how to be humbled. He taught him how to lead And God kept him there. And I would say under training for 40 years. Because, see, Moses had gotten the people out of Egypt. But it was going to take God to get the Egypt out of Moses and the people after 40 years of training by God as a shepherd, tending to sheep. Moses then began his journey in the wilderness with the 2 million Israelites. Can you imagine? You know, we always say Moses freed the Jews, the Israelites. We never knew. If you didn't know, you didn't know how many. That's a lot of people. But God knows what he's doing, y'all. God chose Moses before the foundation of the world. God was with Moses every step of the way. Because wherever God asks you, whatever God asks you to do, the provisions is already there. He gave Moses signs and wonders when it was necessary when he was before the king. He gave Moses courage to face anything. God provides provision where he got. God was with Moses every step of the way. He promised to never leave him, and he didn't. And we're going to see tonight that God loved Moses and Moses loved God. But we're going to see that Moses didn't get to the promised land. And we'll talk about it a little bit. So if you got your Bibles, go to chapter 14. If anybody else could add anything about Moses, when the program is over, press the 1 button. If anybody want to ask a question, because I have so much information, but it's just about Moses, step by step, but it's just so much time we have at this time. So you could press the 1 button, and hopefully we could answer a question, or you could give us input. So if we get to Exodus, the 14th chapter, starting at the 5th verse, it says, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the king and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said," to be leading right up to after Moses' time living in the palace, then his 40 years in the field as a shepherd. And this is going to be the beginning of his next 40 years in the wilderness. So the information I gave about Moses bringing us to this point, but there's so much other information that could be given. "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Now, y'all know the story. Moses told the king, God said, "Let my people go." The king refused. And God did so many plagues against the king. And the king would say no, turn the water into wine. He let the flies be over everything. The flies was all in their food. The flies was in their hair. It was on their bodies, in their clothes, the flies. Then he let the gnats be there. He turned the water into blood. He did many things. King would let his people go. And he had one final thing he did, where he killed all of the firstborn. And it wasn't just the firstborn of human beings, but it was the firstborn of the cattle, of the horses, of the pigs. The firstborn into the Egyptians died. And God told the Israelites to take and kill a sacrificial lamb, take the blood, put it on the post of your door, He said, because I'm going to send a dead angel in there. And the dead angel is going to go in every house that does not have the blood stained on the door. And he, the Israelites was all right. And I'm told, you know, the Israelites lived on a certain part in Egypt where they had given them when they came there. They feel like if the water turned to blood, everywhere that the Israelites, everywhere that the Egyptians dwell, their water was blood, but the the Israelites' water was all right. The flies didn't cross over to them. Come on, y'all, don't tell me about God and his protection and what he'll do for us. So that was the last plague, the killer firstborn. Pharaoh decided to let the children go. And that's where we started right here. Because in that verse, the Pharaoh got, when they realized the children had gone, after he told them, go ahead, get out of here, you know, because Pharaoh had a son, young son that was killed as a firstborn. And he gave up and told them, go. Now they second guessing. So Pharaoh and his men saying, why do we let them go? Because they, it's the ones that serve us. Verse 6. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Hallelujah. And the children of Israel went out of his hand. They done left now, but Pharaoh done changed his mind, which sometimes happens. And he got a big army together, the mightiest of men. Now he going to get them back, because you see, that was their slave labor.
Time.
Labor. That's just like,
it's
you
know, not good.
That's just like, that's just like, you know, when black people were slaves and they would do anything, the powers would do anything to keep them as slaves because that was their servants. They didn't pay them. They didn't even have to treat them good. So slavery is nothing new because the Hebrews were slaves to the Egyptians. They didn't pay them. Most of the time they didn't treat them good, and that's why they was crying out to God. When God got ready and heard they cried, he sent his servant Moses. So that's how Moses went to save them. That's how they got in Egypt in the first place. So now, verse 9, but the Egyptian pursued after them, and the horse and chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped by the sea besides the Philorot, besides the Belzephron. That's where they was. They got them then and then trapped them and they did that. But I wanted to say something in a verse above that. They say that Pharaoh heart, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, when I was not as versed in the Bible as I am now, I think they had 9 plagues or 9 parables that, you know, they would do one at a time. And when Pharaoh was making up his mind, it said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I said, if the man wanted to let him go, why God would keep hardening his heart? But you got to realize, God knew Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. He didn't take a little humble man that always made the right decision. And when the man made the decision or wanted to decide to let him go, God hardened his heart to make him stay. which God could do what he wants, y'all. When he wants, how he wants, for what reason. But God knew that Pharaoh already had a hard heart. And verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. 11, and they said unto Moses, watch this. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. They're telling Moses, now look where we at. We between a rock and a hard place. You done brought us out here. You and that God done brought us out here. Y'all could have left us in Egypt. What, ain't no graves in Egypt? Come on, y'all. And the title of the lesson is, now, God had showed them his power when he did everything against the king, and he showed them this and that, and I think I'm going to get to that. But God gave them evidence of his power and his love for them, and yet it wasn't enough. So the scripture says, they asked him, was there no graves in Egypt? Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? He should have left us dead. Now remember, they was crying out to God, crying out to God, crying out to God to be delivered out of Egypt. He's delivered them. They get to an obstacle and they begin to do that. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? We told you we didn't do this because we didn't know what we was going to go into, but we know what we had here. We serve them, you know, and we eat good. And they had plenty of Jews made a life in Egypt. And just like when black slavery was abolished, many blacks stayed on the plantation. But I'm just giving you a little heads up tonight. When God freed the children out of his children out of Egypt, everybody didn't want to go. That's what he said. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. And look what they say here. But we had been better, it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to come and die in the wilderness. How you like that? You see what it was? The obstacle they had ran into, they were trapped against the sea. The Israelites faced the Egyptian army sweeping in for a kill. The Israelites thought they were doomed. God provided the evidence and the power, and it wasn't enough. He hadn't got them out of Egypt. So they should figure he should get them out of this crack. That's why the song I played, Don't Give Up on Jesus, they was giving up on God. After watching God's powerful hand deliver them from Egypt and many miracles he performed, he let the dead angel come. Come on, y'all. He did the perils of plagues on Pharaoh. But it wasn't enough. Where was their trust in God, y'all? Israel had to learn from repeated experience that God was able to provide for them. Y'all know the story of the Israelites. God chose them people, how they turned their backs on God, how they begin to worship idol God, how they walk away from God over and over and over and over and over again till a wrath of God comes on them. God allowed pagan nations, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and all of those people to come and subdue them. He allowed it. He orchestrated it because he told them he would do it. Oh, God always gave them a way to repent. And he always told them, now y'all done did this. But if y'all do this, this is what you're going to get. See, God made a promise to Abraham that they would be his promised people. This ought to let you guys know that God is not an Indian giver. What God has for you, that's why the scripture say that is for you. What God promised to do, he's going to do it. And over throughout history, the Israelites, God's chosen people, find a way to mess up. You know, they just complain. So that's when they were fixing to get in the wilderness. You know, the wilderness is the next 40 years, but it's not in our lesson tonight. But that was the first grumbling they was doing. But they grumbled so much more in the wilderness, and maybe we could pick that up as a lesson. But Moses has finished his first 40 years in the palace. He has finished his second 40 years of life with Jethro. And he's about to enter his next 40 years in the wilderness. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God saying it again to them. After they didn't try to insult him, God is still faithful. He's still there. Look what he say in 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You see, the people was hostile, and they was desperate. But Moses encouraged them to watch the wonderful way God would rescue them. Moses had a positive attitude. When it looked as if they were trapped, Moses called upon the Lord to intervene. We may not be chased by an army, but we may feel trapped by everyday life issues, health, finances, and family problems. We feel trapped and overwhelmed. We should adopt Moses' attitude. You know, I think somewhere they say it. I think that's when they tell us to put on the full armor of God. When we have done all that we can do, stand. But I think many times, many of us, and I ain't say you, many of us stand before we have done all we can. You know, we get one little wind blowing, we throw in the towel. But do like Moses did. He told them, stand and see the salvation of God. But we, you know, have to do as he did. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will bring in our lives. You know, the word of God tells us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. He was telling them that if they let God fight their battles, victory would be those, be theirs. Do you ever have enough faith to just give the battle totally to God and allow him to fight that battle and see the hand of God working on your behalf? You know, we have our faith, and we go to God, and you know, like sometimes the old people used to tell us, don't take your prayers and put them on the altar and go back and snatch him. You know, we put our prayers on the altar and then we go back as if God needs our help. But But do as Moses do. The battle come up. Bring your cares to God because he care for you. And see how he fight that battle. Because they say the battle is not ours. They belong to the God. They belong to God. Moses is also telling, yeah, them enemies is behind us. He said, but I know that God will make your enemy your footstool. Moses was saying to them that all things will work together for our good if we just continue to love him. There are times in our lives the only word of God would help. You think you're studying the word of God just to have a lot of memory in your head? You study the word of God, and if you believe the word of God and you are allow it to be in your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. At the time of emergencies and setbacks and holdups and knockdowns, when you call upon the Lord with his word, it's a beautiful thing. We are told that the Holy Ghost brings things to our memory. You know, sometimes you're speaking and the Holy Ghost will give you something to say. Or sometimes you pondering over something and the Holy Ghost into your spirit and give you a word from God that was in you. But I ain't sure, but I think they say the way that that goes, the Holy Ghost can only pull out of you what you have put in you. And I could see that. I could see that now since I said it. Just like the computer, what goes in, you can't, you know, expect to get something out you didn't put in. So when you call upon the Holy Spirit, he uses the word and foundation that you have inside of you to help you to cross over the bridge of the troubled waters. Glory be to God. And that's why I often say, you know, studying the word of God is for you. God already know the word. God wrote the word. God is the only true and living word. For you to study the word of God ain't going to make God no more God. And if you never study the word of God, it's not going to make God less God. More word, more comfort and power. Little word, little comfort and power. And that's just the way it is. God has provided and given us everything we need. But it's up to us to put in the word. And if we look at verse 21 and 22, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were walls unto them on their right hand and on their left. You know, they was facing the river, the sea. You know, and we talking about a million people. And they had children and they had possessions. You know, one of the things that God did for them when he told them to leave Egypt, he told them to act their bosses or whoever, or anybody, he told them to ask them for what they wanted. And the people would be so happy to give them that, to get them away from them, they would give them to them. They left Egypt with so much gold and silver and jewelry. And I'm sure buying clothes and different things. God don't never send you nowhere empty-handed, y'all. They was going in the wilderness yet, but God told them, go ask for what you want, and you shall receive it, and they did. So they're at the ledge of the sea. Pharaoh and his army is closing in on them. They began to grumble. They went to Moses. Moses went to God, and God divided the sea. What a mighty God we serve. God can do anything he wants, y'all. Anything he wants. When he wants. For who he wants. Because he's God. The Bible clearly states the Lord drove the sea back with a strong wind and turned it into dry land. You know, they got a lot of conspiracy theories. Theologians with different opinions say that the water wasn't that deep, you know, all kind of things. But the Bible clearly states that God drove the sea back with a strong wind. God created the sea. And just for heads up, he created the wind. Come on now. Hey. You know, what about the mighty God we serve? You know, what's that? Psalm 24 said, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. The world and everything that dwell in belongs to God. And God is in total control. He don't make mistakes. And he don't have to go to anyone to decide to do anything for anyone. So when we look at Moses as I close, we got to realize he was chosen before the foundation of the world. No matter what the devil set up for his bad, God turned it around for his good. Moses had an intended purpose that God used to accomplish a defined goal for his glory. We are all created for God's glory. Each and every one of us has a design purpose allowed, but we have to allow God to mold and shape, arrange and rearrange the matters in our lives so we can get to our expected end. We got to believe what Jeremiah 29:11 say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, it's interesting to note that even though Moses did what God asked him to do, he was leading the people to the promised land. See, God told them they was going to have their own land. Now, they wasn't going to be, you know, just passing through. God had already designed to give them the promised land. And Moses was bringing them to the promised land. But in the journey, Moses did something. Well, really, God told Moses, the people wanted water. God told Moses to hit the rock, right? God told Moses to speak to the rock, and the water would come out, and God would get the glory, right? But the people got on Moses' nerves so bad, he allowed anger to enter into him. And Moses took his staff and he hit the rock. And the water came out. And the people started praising Moses. And it was an outward thing that he did against God in front of all of the people. And because of that, God told Moses he would not get to the promised land. But even though he didn't set his foot on the promised land, God brought him and showed it to him, now, y'all. And even at Moses' old age, his eyes didn't wear out. He had a muscular stature. Some of the women would say that it was like eye candy. Come on, y'all. God took care of Moses. He didn't see the promised land during his lifetime. But he was given the opportunity to enter the promised land after his death. Hallelujah. You have to know all that God has for us. It's not going to happen in the here and now. You know, we have some people that have a disease and you pray for them. Some get healed and some don't. But when Jesus come back and we put on our glorified bodies, all that's going to, the flesh is going to be going away. Flesh is where the sin dwells. We're going to be picked up in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to change till our new garments, our new bodies, our heavenly bodies. So you won't have cancer. When the scripture in Isaiah says, by his stripes we were healed. Plenty of people use that for the physical blessing, and yes, it still could apply. But he was saying, by his stripes we were healed of our sin sickness if you accept Christ. But Moses didn't get to the promised land. And they say he was buried with God's own hand. And they say where Moses is buried, no one has ever found it. So if an archaeologist come on the Discover Channel tomorrow and tell you they found Moses' body, you could not believe it. Because God said no one has ever found his body till this day. Until this day means this day too, and tomorrow that day, and so on and so on. But we thank God for the example that he gave us in his word of the life of Moses. And we can take what Moses did well and try to do it. And what he, where he failed, don't ever try to take the glory of God from God. God is a jealous God, and he won't have it. Moses. And we know Moses is with Jesus, because when they had the transfiguration, Jesus came with Elijah and Moses. And that was after Jesus' death, and of course after their death. They came on the mountain for the transfiguration. Jesus wanted to show his disciples and teach them. So who came? Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. So you know Moses is it's got it going on. He didn't get to the promised land, but he's receiving the promises of God. More than he could have ever imagined, I'm sure. That's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you could press the one button on your phone. If you want to add anything else about Moses, if you want to, you know, talk about anything, press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Caller, your number is 51715. Minister Mackey, your mic open. Minister Mackey?
My phone. I'm pressing the wrong button.
You want me to close the mic?
I didn't press the one button.
Well, it was pressed because the light is on in the studio. I'll take it. I'll close it. Thank you, my sister.
Oh.
Anyone else? Anyone else? And since it's the 9 o'clock hour, again, I say happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Happy Love Day. And at this time, we could have our benediction. One moment, Sister Pam. I got to open your mic. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Your mic is open.
Okay. A happy Valentine's Day to you too, Minister Diane.
Thank you.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.
Amen. And if there's any topic or any character in the Bible you want us to study, you could always press the one button and let us know. and all of us to put our heads together and study the lesson and come back with, I'm sure, great information. But if there's any subject or title or a person, you could let me know by just pressing the one button on your phone, and we use that topic for some of the lessons. Thank you. So that's it for tonight. And we'll be back next week if God says the same. But until then, go in peace and let the love of God be your guide in this thing called life. See you next week if God allows it. Good night.